ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
As Australia and the US wrestle with calls to ban TikTok, a new study reveals the extensive links between many more social media apps or online games and China's state-controlled propaganda units. Researchers at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute have found these propaganda units are forging ties with Chinese tech companies to harvest private data from a wide range of globally popular social media apps or platforms and online games. Among them are the ride-share company Didi, gaming app Genshin, Impact. There's a whole lot of them. The online shopping juggernaut that's already had more than 1.2 million users in Australia is also impacted. Dr. Samantha Hoffman was the lead author of the new report from Aspie and joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what are the links that you found and what are the tech companies that are most guilty, if you like, of these links?
Sure. Well, the idea behind the research was that we tend to take a somewhat whack-a-mole approach to identifying PRC companies that have links to the state that would undermine our interest in Australia and elsewhere. But really, the kinds of companies that are of concern are far greater than we're talking about in the media. And so the idea was to look for entities that were directly linked to the Chinese state through state-owned enterprises, as well as entities that were receiving state support to map out this ecosystem, which is a lot larger than one or two companies. Our research database includes over 1,000 companies, but it includes companies like Temu, which has, I think, 1.6 million shoppers each month in Australia, according to a Roy Morgan report released 2 months ago.
And what sort of data is China and its propaganda units harvesting from these apps? Like, what are they getting that's of use?
So it depends on what application you're talking about. If you are thinking about the Genshin Impact, the gaming application, that could be data on the way that users make decisions. On Temu, it could be preferences that indicate the likes and dislikes of particular demographics. And where that becomes useful when that data is aggregated, it's sort of similar in the same way that an advertiser would use the data, except the difference is how the party state attaches its interest to that. So if you better understand the way that society makes a decision or preferences, you can better over time influence those particular groups of people.
Okay. So specifically, how does China use that information to influence Australia or Australians?
Well, what we talk about in the report are types of data that are collected before an information operation could take place. But the idea is that if China's trying to shape the vision of the way that the world perceives and understands truth and reality, which is what we argue in the paper, then this data will help to make those efforts more successful over time. So we're looking at the precursors to information operations in this paper.
Should Australian consumers be wary of using these apps at all and even delete them altogether?
My recommendation is yes, because there are a number of privacy concerns stemming from those applications. But I think it's also, the report calls attention to the need to better understand the risks associated with the digital supply chain, understanding where, for instance, your data goes, because it's not just the end user, say the company, it's whoever has access to the data downstream. And that's the point that we make when we talk about Temu in the report, because Temu's data, we point to that data going to a platform that's ultimately controlled by the propaganda system in China. And so you actually have very little visibility over how that data can be used by others who have downstream access to it.
And if you don't have any control, that's dangerous. In what way?
It's dangerous because it undermines the security interests of a liberal democracy. And because we, in the report, we talk about the way that the party state envisions using this type of data to shape to say perceptions on issues, whether they're specific to China's foreign policy interests or whether there's China's human rights are sort of under things that undermine human rights. So we talk about Tibetans and Uyghurs and how China's cultural interest in sort of shaping cultural data mean sort of undermining what is genuine or real according to China's definitions of what is genuine or real.
Mm. Short of banning these apps, how can Australia and other governments control the risk from them?
Well, in the report, we talk about improving ways of doing sort of digital supply chain security. We talk about foreign influence and transparency scheme and also, you know, similar legislation in other countries like FARA in the U.S., and better using toolkits, you know, that we already have to deal with the risks stemming from specifically these PRC companies. But it's also things like standardizing the ways in which data is shared, regulating how it can be produced and stored. There are a number of tools that we can use that address the underlying problems before we go to banning specific companies like TikTok or, you know, ripping out Huawei from our infrastructure. So I think there are a number of things that we can be doing that address the problems that are underlying the data security risks that China's companies create before we actually go to naming and shaming specific companies.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Samantha Hoffman is the lead author of the report by the Australian Strategic Policy Institute.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.